When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
The moment is finally at hand. Cloud Strife has fought his way through the Shinra main offices and down to the lower levels where he intends to put the brains of the company down for good. Kicking the door open, Cloud raises his aggressively large sword up and shouts for whoever is there to come out of hiding. It is then that the ominous form of Mr. Sinister steps out from behind a large throne and takes in his enemy. Well, 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 stranger. I've seen many a clone in my day, but not you before. No matter. Soon I will crush you and continue my day. Cloud responds with a menacing dot, 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 and battle music starts getting loud, indicating the start of this fight. It's enhanced human versus enhanced human. It's scientist versus soldier. It's Mr. Sinister versus Cloud Strife. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stakanis.
Hi!
Legion of... there you go. Legion of Audience. The Who Would Win show has returned to its original form and brings you another insane battle that somehow makes complete sense. In one corner, you have Cloud Strife, a former soldier turned mercenary who battles inner demons and external threats to save the world. And in the other corner, you have Mr. Sinister, a brilliant geneticist and X-Men villain who is obsessed with evolving the human race any way he can. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup's been discussed, and yet again, I got nothing. This is crazy. You'd think with the popularity of the X-Men 97 series that something would pop up, Mr. Sinister versus, you know, some video game character, but nothing. So yet again, the Who Would Win show brings you a premier geek culture battle never before discussed. And all I got to say is, you're welcome. All right, Ray, I got to know, what are your thoughts on today's battle?
I was intrigued by this battle. I like Mr. Sinister. I like Cloud Strife. I like the idea of going into depth on both of these characters a little bit more. And as I started like peeling back the layers of the onion, it suddenly like hit me that these two characters are not too dissimilar from each other somehow. You wouldn't think of it on paper, but I mean, and we'll talk about it on the show, I'm sure, but the similarities are way more than I thought were going to be there when we first started to put this together.
You know, that's kind of what we do on the show, is we take two characters that you would think would have like no way of meshing together for a really great battle, and then you start researching them, the way we present them, all of a sudden the battle does make complete sense. I guarantee you that's what's going to happen for today's episode. Look, when you have characters, I guess, from two separate genres and of geek culture, you know, you've got gaming, you've got Marvel Comics, you need a judge who can see into a fictional universe of some sort and somehow recreate it into something that is maybe even better. That's what we need. Do we have such a judge for today's episode? Let's find out. making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show. It's the creator of the Mortalverse DC audio drama. It's the voice of Aquaman. It's Matthew Dawson. Matthew, welcome to Who Would Win.
Hello, hello, hello. It is about time. I'm so excited to be here today to judge this just titanic matchup. Cloud and Mr. Sinister are two characters that I'm fairly acquainted with, probably enough to get through like an X-Men Final Fantasy themed cocktail party, which, by the way, James, did you get that invite to the X-Men slash Final Fantasy themed cocktail party I sent you?
I did. I'm dressing up as Colossus slash Cloud Strife, so I can't wait. It's going to be amazing. I'm sure Ray will be there too. Now, here's the thing, Matthew, before we get into this, I just got to tell Legion of Honest, you've been a huge part of the show. You've made some amazing videos for the shows to hype up each episode. You've supported us. I really can't thank you enough. You are, you know, the model fan and supporter of the Who Would Win show. If you ever want to figure out how you should compose yourself as a fan of the Who Would Win show, just follow Matthew Dawson's example. Now, with all that being said, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, what you've been up to.
Yeah, well, Samurai Jack finally made it on show, so I'm done crying in the comment sections every week. And since then, I've taken up making DC comics related audio dramas. It all started back with Justice League Mortal, canceled George Miller film script that we adapted, Race to Canis, Who Would Win's very own plays Batman, incredibly, I might add.
Hey, that's me!
Then we did, yeah, that's you!
Whoa!
Nightwing Year One followed after with Race to Canis playing Batman.
Crazy.
And
incredible.
That was awesome as well. And then
questionable casting, but go on.
Yeah. You know, you get a guy, you keep a guy. So then we did Arrow Canary, which was a completely original script by me, and got James Gaffsey as Batman.
There you go.
Which, so if you love James, you love Ray, you love their voices, you want to listen to them more, you want to hear him play Batman. And very interesting how James plays Batman, I might add. So I don't want to spoil anything, but give it a listen. You're going to find out some really fun stuff goes on with Green Arrow, Black Canary, the Suicide Squad, and everything. And right now we are currently making a Teen Titans audio drama. So who doesn't love Teen Titans?
Well, you know, this leads me to a question. I've been wanting to ask you this for a while because you're doing a great job with this. The fan reaction's been massive. Everyone loves it, ranging from the people who are the actual voice actors on the show to the people listening to the audio drama itself. I mean, there's so many different IPs, right? Star Wars or video game universes or what have you. What drew you to the DC universe?
I've always been a big DC fan. And after Mortal was supposed to be a one and done, I just wanted to do it. You know, I listened to Star Wars Legacy like everyone else, was very intrigued by the concept. And it was going to be a one and done, but then everyone loved it so much. And I kind of had a few paths to look at. Did I want to just keep making canceled movie scripts into audio dramas? Did I want to do something Marvel related? Some other IP, Star Wars. I was approached about a Star Trek project, but I just thought, you know what? Let's make that universe where this George Miller film beat the MCU to the punch and keep branching off from there. What if we didn't get the, let's just call them hit or miss DC movies of the last 10 years, and instead we started the universe at Mortal and branched off from there?
Brilliant. I love it. And you know what? Legion of Audience, if you haven't checked out these audio dramas, please do. Before we get going, Matthew, where can people find, or where can they listen to the audio dramas?
Yeah, they're everywhere. YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, just look up Mortalverse audio dramas or any of the show names, you'll find.
I love it. All right, listen, we can talk about this all day, but we do have a battle to get to. So with all that being said, Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Marvel Comics, the evil mastermind with a cape so outlandish, Spawn asked him to tone it down, Mr. Sinister. And representing Square Enix, the hero with a sword the size of Kanye West's ego, Cloud Strife.
Well done, Ray. Now, before we go any further, let's go over the basics of a Who Would Win match. Now, each debater will make 3 points. Keep in mind that the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge or prep time allowed. and the debater has to stay within the confines of the character. And when it comes to determining the winner, it's the judge who has the final say and who will determine which character lost based on death, incapacitation, or battlefield removal, with no outside interference being allowed. Remember, you can always check out all of our rules on our website at www.whowouldwinshow.tv. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit www.whowouldwinstore.com to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts and merch. And stay tuned for very special announcements coming up with some crazy new merchandise, new shirts, new crazy products that the Who Would Win show will be offering very shortly. Again, we'll have an announcement soon for the Legion of Audience. And now, let's get to the tale of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Cloud Strife.
Cloud Strife is a former warrior for Soldier and former employee of the Shinra Electric Power Company. Cloud joined a team of freedom fighters called Avalanche to fight the demons of his past. Cloud was designed by Tetsuya Nomura and debuted in the legendary video game Final Fantasy VII, which first released in 1997. Raised by a single mom, Cloud aspired for a little bit more out of life. This caused him to leave home at the age of 14 and join up with the Soldier program. After what we will call a falling out, he runs into former childhood friend and freedom fighter Tifa Lockhart, and at her asking, joins Avalanche to oppose everything he once sided with but grew to hate. Cloud is a master swordsman, a superhuman, and has a big axe to grind with the company that made him who he is. Fun fact, Final Fantasy VII is a game with layers on top of layers, so it should come as no surprise that the characters' names were chosen specifically as descriptions for the characters themselves. Cloud Strife is a perfect example of this, as his head is always in the clouds, and it's always full of strife. It's due to the experiments that were done to him in the Soldier program, but what better name could you give a character who is partially broken mentally, but strives to do a little bit of good in the world? I mean, Race to Canis was already taken, sadly. And that is Cloud Strife.
Using air quotes, well done, Ray. Now here are the details for Mr. Sinister. Mr. Sinister, whose real name is Nathaniel Essex, is a prominent villain in Marvel Comics, particularly within the X-Men series. Created by writer Chris Claremont and artist Mark Silvestri, Mr. Sinister made his first appearance in the Uncanny X-Men number 221 in September of 1987. A brilliant Victorian-era geneticist, Essex was transformed into the virtually immortal Mr. Sinister by the ancient mutant Apocalypse. This transformation gave Mr. Sinister numerous powers, but also enhanced his mind to super genius levels. Driven by a cold scientific curiosity and an obsession with genetic perfection, Mr. Sinister has often clashed with the X-Men. He is known for his complex schemes, often involving the manipulation and experimentation of mutants and humans to create the ultimate being. Sinister's deep interest in the Summers and Gray family bloodlines has made him a persistent adversary, in particular, to Cyclops and Jean Grey. And here's an interesting fact about Mr. Sinister. Did you know his backstory was supposed to be very, very different? It's true. According to Chris Claremont, Mr. Sinister was originally going to be the front for another supervillain. It was going to be revealed, this is no joke, that the orphanage where Cyclops grew up was being controlled by an 11-year-old boy with mutant powers. The boy was actually an old man whose powers forced his body to stop growing. This boy would control a crime syndicate, it gets weirder, but would have to act through agents due to his appearance. Through the use of his powers, the boy would create a scary-looking supervillain to act as his representative to the outside world. This creation was Mr. Sinister, who was intentionally designed to look like he was designed by a kid. This is why he has such a childish name. He was literally created to be a kid, which just goes to show what I've been saying for years is absolutely true. 11-year-olds are supervillains. You know I'm right. All right, now you have the facts on both opponents. Matthew, do you have any questions before we get started?
Yeah, no questions. Very excited to get into this. We got two characters with very on-the-nose names. Now that I know the Cloud Strife fun fact and Mr. Sinister just purely existing. So I'm excited to get into this one.
Do you agree that 11-year-olds, you know, in general are super
villains?
Oh,
the worst. Just,
right?
Yeah. Evil.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was 11, totally ready to conquer the world. All right. Here we go. Race to Canis. Let's get this party started. Here's your point number one.
Point number one for Cloud Strife. We're going to talk a little bit about his Buster sword because he has a big, powerful sword. It's like the big thing that you notice besides the blonde spiky hair with Cloud Strife is the fact that he's rolling around with like a 6'8" sword at all times. Now, I understand in the Final Fantasy games that he can upgrade, use different weapons, and maybe some of them have more potency to them. For the sake of argument and storytelling, though, I'm going to focus on the Buster Sword and just assume and understand that it can be upgraded as it goes for the sake of the story, because if you ever look at him in the cutscenes, he's always wielding this one sword, right? So that's how it goes. So it is a big, powerful, crunching sword. Obviously, he has to be a superhuman strength type of character to wield something so ridiculous and do it with such panache. This guy can fight with the skill of Inigo Montoya and a fencing blade, but does so with a giant honker of a sword. Now, he is capable of using that sword and cutting cement blocks in half. If you can take giant chunks of cement and your sword can pierce through it to the point where you split it in two and ride through it on your motorcycle, you're looking pretty darn good. He also has a series of limit breaks, a series of special moves that he can do with his sword, and that's really where the bread and butter of his most powerful attacks go. Examples of these are one called Braver, which is a huge downward strike. You get hit with that, it's like getting hit with a guillotine on your neck. It's going to make something come off of you. And in fact, that particular strike is known for breaking and shattering armor, whether it be force fields, whether it be like actual physical armor. That's a move that can break down your armor and leave his opponent vulnerable. He also does something called a cross slash, which is a three-hit combo that paralyzes momentarily whoever it is that he hits. He has what's called the blade beam, which is a magical blast. He actually can shoot this against people who have energy attacks, like Legend of Zelda, like Link. He can shoot it, and then it will hit whatever energy blast is coming out of him. The power of this force will cause an explosion to happen and can protect him from energy blasts. Boy, I wonder if that might help him in a battle against Mr. Sinister. I don't know. I'll let James figure that out. Other moves he has, the Meteor Rain, which can summon meteors from the sky to land on his opponents. Finishing Touch can summon a tornado to eject his opponents from battle. And the Omni Slash, that's his big ol' move. His big ol' combo. It's a 15-hit mega combo. This is actually the series of moves he eventually uses, spoiler alert, but you could have figured it out, to defeat Sephiroth in Final Fantasy VII. But additional to just being a big, powerful weapon that he knows how to use through his training at Soldier, which was intense and enormous, you can put little pieces of what's called materia on the sword as well, allowing him to use magical powers, right? He starts the game with lightning materia, which means he can like be like Storm or Thor, and he can shoot lightning bolts at people. Pretty good. He also can change or upgrade it to have fire ability, ice, earth powers, you know, throwing rocks at people, wind, which is one of his best, poison, as well as healing himself with the materia in his sword. He has some later materia that he can use, time-based powers to slow or stop his opponents entirely. He can also use ones called sleep, put him to sleep, death. He can kill enemies outright, but I will say, pretty much every boss in the game is immune to the death spell, so I'm going to assume Sinister is as well. And his final attack is Ultima. It's just an ultimate, negates all armor, just hits everybody on the screen very, very hard. Now, he does have to use a lot of his mana, MP, for casting this spell, but if he gets it off, it could be a game wrecker in one shot that no armor really is going to help you with. With all of this together, his sword, his magic, his fighting ability, I don't know that Mr. Sinister has the physical chops to hang with him in any kind of a close combat fight. And that's my point number one.
So I like Cloud Strife a lot. You know, he's amazing with the sword, and he can make the sword do a whole lot of things. And these are a whole lot of things that Mr. Sinister can either easily counter or has seen before, so he knows what to do when he sees it. Now, cutting cement blocks in half with his sword. So you're just saying he has like a Matthew Dawson or James Gavsey level of strength. That's pretty cool. Mr. Sinister can deal with that because he's pretty strong too. These mega combos, that's great. I'll explain why that's not going to do a thing to Mr. Sinister. You know, Mr. Sinister's also had decades of training and decades of fighting experience against the best swords, you know, wielders in Marvel. Remember, this guy's 150 years old and he's no stranger to getting involved in fights and taking out superpowered beings. More on that later. And finally, the really cool thing about Cloud Strife is that he does use that mana, but he runs out of it. It's not like it's always there. He uses it, and then it kind of is used up or what have you. It's got to be replenished. That's going to be a real issue against Mr. Sinister, and I'll explain why. Because in my point number one, I want to talk about Mr. Sinister's powers. So look, after, you know, he's genetically altered by Apocalypse, he gains a lot of different powers. And then over time, he just further enhances himself because he takes genetic material from other mutants, other beings, and just puts it into himself because he likes to give himself powers that other mutants have because, you know, why not? So let's look, take a look at what he can do. He's got the power of cellular shape-shifting. So what does that mean? It means that Mr. Sinister can literally control every molecule in his body. This allows him to transform into anyone or anything. He's a shapeshifter, but with his genius intellect and creativity, he can use his power for way, way more. He can create weapons out of his body, different clothing, animal forms. He can even divide himself into multiple people who all operate, you know, together for the same purpose, yet are completely independent. That is crazy. Here's a fun one. He's got a regenerative healing factor that is listed as being better than Wolverine's. So in Uncanny X-Men number 350, Mr. Sinister survives, you know, gunshot wounds, explosions, all that kind of good stuff. And he just heals instantly, just like he's good to go really, really fast. Listen, his healing factor also allows him to reconstruct his body from nearly like nothing. The bottom line is that as long as there's just one cell of him, he can completely reconstruct himself back to normal within seconds. That's better than what Wolverine and Deadpool can do. By the way, it's even better than what Lobo's healing factor is. Fun fact, X-23, Wolverine's clone slash daughter, stabbed Mr. Sinister in the gut and through the bottom of his head, so the claws popped out the top of his head, and Mr. Sinister just looked at her and grinned and laughed. That is crazy. So this stuff's not really going to hurt him too much with his sword. He's also got unlimited superhuman stamina. So in so many battles against the X-Men, Mr. Sinister just shows he's got this ability to fight for extended periods of time without getting tired whatsoever. In fact, we never see Mr. Sinister get tired in a fight because he officially cannot get tired. That's right. If he needs to fight for days, weeks, I don't know, years at a time, he can easily do so. Remember, he's got that cellular and molecular control over his entire body. So any like fatigue poisons, anything gets tired, boom, he just mentally says, you're gone or whatever. He never gets tired. He can fight at peak for as long as he needs to. Days, weeks, years, not a problem for him. That is an issue for Cloud Strife. He's also got superhuman speed. So look, just in terms of how fast he can go, he's faster than Captain America, but a tad slower than Spider-Man, but not by much. He's also got superhuman durability. Look, when you're super genius with molecular control of your body, you're going to make your base level of durability super high, but you can then increase it dramatically when you need or want it to. We saw this, I think it was Uncanny X-Men number 221, and Mr. Sinister is got these, you know, tanking super powerful energy blasts like it was nothing. And if he does somehow get hurt, this is cool, or damaged, he just regenerates instantly and can boost his durability even more with telekinesis and force fields. More on that later. Of course, he's got superhuman strength. Marvel lists him being able to lift at least 10 tons. But again, with this control over his molecular structure, cellular regenerate, whatever you want to call it, he can make himself way, way stronger. And then again, boost it even further with his telekinesis. This is really cool. And on top of all that, he's got superhuman reflexes comparable to Spider-Man's. I don't think he's as fast with his reflexes as Spider-Man, but it's definitely up there. He can also shoot the same type of optic blast as Cyclops. Now, you got to remember that the optic blasts, they're not just like heat energy or energy. These are actually like kinetic blasts. They like kind of hit with a lot of force to like push you away or destroy something, whatever it is. This is different than the type of force Cloud Strife is using to deal with. And he got this because, of course, he took some of Cyclops' DNA, put it in himself. It sounds kind of wrong. I don't know how he did it, but he did. So now he's got the ability to shoot these optic blasts like Cyclops can from his hands, his eyes, and that mark on his head that he's got. I'm not sure why he's got it. It's just a thing he does. Look, this is a guy who shrugged off being hit by Storm's lightning like it was nothing. When Rogue punched him a number of times with her insane super strength, he laughed it off, and then he congratulated the entire X-Men team when they all got together and tackled him to the ground and said, oh, we finally got him. And he says, hey, congrats. You know, golf clap, that was really, really great, and just shrugs them all off. That includes Colossus. Look, this guy's got insanely powerful powers. He's got a ton of great things he can do, but there's a whole lot more to him in my next 2 points. But for now, all of that is my point number one.
I mean, that's fine. Look, Mr. Sinister is a little bit enhanced, sure. Apocalypse gave him some cool powers, and he makes the most out of what little he has. But let's keep it a little bit real. Mr. Sinister is a science nerd. He's not exactly a great fighter. He's not a great combatant. He was definitely not trained in combat the way that Cloud Strife was. He really wants to be the power behind the throne, not the guy who steps out from the shadows and handles things himself. Why? Because he doesn't want to help it. Look, I know that Mr. Sinister looks like a juggalo, but I don't think he could beat Abdullah the Butcher in a hardcore death match at the Gathering. That's all I'm trying to say. He tries to stay out of fights rather than get into them. He wants other people to fight for him because at the end of the day, he is a science lab nerd. And you say, oh, he could, Cloud couldn't handle the things that blah, 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 blah. He couldn't. Days, weeks, and years. You really think this fight's going to last years, James Gavsey? No. No Final Fantasy fight with Cloud Strife is going to take years. No fight with Mr. Sinister is going to take years. Cloud Strife survived Sephiroth's ultimate supernova attack, which is a comet that destroyed every planet in our solar system before hitting Cloud and his friends. And Cloud was able to tank that. What can Sinister do on that level? The answer is nothing.
Tell me you don't know Mr. Sinister without telling me you don't know anything about Mr. Sinister. Look, let's go to see what our judge has to say. Matthew Dawson, you've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Yeah, you guys brought it strong in point one. I'm happy to see it. Sinister being able to shrug off Storm and Rogue, that's huge. And Cloud being able to shrug off a comet is huge. So, Ray, I do got a question for you. All these sword powers, does he have to do like a little dance to summon these? Are they psychic? How are they working?
Yeah, what's called is, and I was going to get into this a little bit later, but I could talk about it now. When he does his ultimate powers, they're called limit breaks. And that's usually because he's being pushed to his limits by whoever he's fighting. So it doesn't start off the battle with these strikes, but as the battle continues on, if he's getting pushed by a good opponent, then these limit breaks will appear for him to be able to be done. And then he will do these powerful strikes, which could often turn the tide from losing into winning.
Gotcha. Gotcha. James, you mentioned Sinister beats some pretty good sword fighters. I want to hear more about the skill of Sinister. You know, he's got all these powers. I want to see how he puts them to use.
Look, all I'm going to say is Ray Sicanus called Mr. Sinister a science nerd. You know who used to be called a science nerd? That was me. You know what happened to all the people who called me science nerd? They're dead now. My whole point is science nerds know how to kick ass, but we'll get into all this because stay tuned for our point number two.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us with your point number two.
You know, someone once called me a science nerd, James Gavsey, and I did not take offense. I did not have to kill them. I just kind of looked confused because I got a C in chemistry or a D. I didn't do well in science.
Surprising.
Point number two for Cloud Strife, we're going to talk about his superhuman abilities because he was implanted with Genova cells. So he was a 14-year-old kid. He went to go join up with the Soldier and the Shinra Electric Power Company and kind of handle their business, do their dirty deeds, be a black ops type of warrior. That's basically how I feel about it, at least. And he was part of the Genova Project. So they implanted him with a whole bunch of cells to turn him into a superhuman ability. This is basically a super soldier serum akin to a Captain America type. But it could be argued by me right now on this show that it took him way beyond the point of a Captain America. that stuff would kind of turn you into a Captain America at a baseline level, but somehow with his physiology and his just inside his brain places taking him further, he was able to surpass that to a much, much higher level, right? Which we'll get into in just a sec. Some examples of this is we've seen Cloud Strife jump and we've seen Cloud Strife fall from massively large distances and then get up and keep going or make the mega jump that he needed to make and continue on his way without even giving a second thought to it. In the mind of Cloud Strife, he's able to do the impossible so regularly that it just becomes the practical in his eyes, if that makes any sense at all. He's so fast and he is so skilled that people with machine guns or rifles or pistols or whatever kind of guns you have at close range, they try to shoot at him and he just blocks the bullets with his sword as he's going. He can see time a little bit faster, as they say, and he can move with a speed that can knock bullets right out of air at close range. He's also very, very tough. At one point, he got stabbed through by Sephiroth, the one-winged angel, the main antagonist, the number one Genova character who was basically born using the Genova Project stuff as opposed to being implanted in it later in life. He was born with this stuff inside of him, which made him even more powerful because he had it from the womb. Well, he got stabbed through by Sephiroth and did not go down. And this has happened multiple times over the course of the game. If you can get run through by the Superman, essentially, of your universe and still find a way to beat him afterwards, you're doing something crazy. You're doing something right. Now, he also got him. This is really kind of weird. In this game, it's a little bit nebulous at times. But somehow, because he shares the Genova cells with some of his fellow soldier members, notably somebody named Zack Fair, who was sort of the guy he looked up to when he was in the organization. Well, he got some of his memories, too. And he got some of his natural abilities. He found himself inherently doing moves that he knew Zack Fair did just because he sort of had that same genome inside of him. And no, I can't explain it any better than that, but just at a baseline level, he can all of a sudden do moves he didn't know he could do. And you talk about it before where like the Black Panthers have the knowledge of all the ancients inside of them. Well, subconsciously, he has that sort of Genova knowledge inside of him, allowing him to fight in a way that even he doesn't know is possible. And that's the whole thing. He, in theory, at the start of the game, is just another soldier who left his mission. But when he fights at the very beginning of Final Fantasy VII, before he's level one, he hasn't leveled up yet, he is one-shotting every other person from the soldier program that he comes across, 2-3 at a time, showing you that even at his baseline level, he has surpassed this Captain America level completely. So he is a wildly superhuman character and easily somebody who is a physical match for a Mr. Sinister, who you mentioned his wins over Storm and Cyclops. You somehow didn't mention he's got losses and some bad losses against those characters as well. It takes a superhuman fighter to bring down Mr. Sinister, and guess what I'm presenting today? That's my point number two.
Again, I'm really liking this character a lot, and what you're revealing, Ray, is really interesting because you're saying he can't instantly heal from injuries. He's tough. He's a badass. He's got this mindset. So if he needs to, you know, keep in the fight, even though he gets stabbed through by Sephiroth or what have you, it might slow him down, but he's just going to keep on continuing. That's awesome. Unfortunately, that's not going to be a good thing against someone who can heal instantly. Eventually, injuries take their toll. You know, I get what you're saying in that info can be planted into his mind. That's actually really, really cool. I love it when they kind of use a neural link type of association where, like, hey, ideas can be put in your head, now you can use them, kind of like, you know, Neo from the Matrix, where he's like, hey, I know kung fu, when it got planted into his head. All of this is good, and I love the fact that he's got this super soldier kind of thing going for him, and that he kind of pushes himself more and more, because that's exactly what Mr. Sinister does. Now let me get to my point number two, and for my point number two, let's talk about even more powers for Mr. Sinister. So in case you didn't know, according to Marvel, Mr. Sinister is classified as an alpha level mutant, which indicates an insanely high level of power. And with this additional powers I'm going to list, you're going to see why this is the case. He's got really powerful telekinesis. He can levitate and he can manipulate objects and even manipulate energy, including magical energy. We all saw a great example of this. I hate to say the sequels of Star Wars and use them as an example, where Kylo Ren, hate that guy, you know, kept an energy blast in midair and just stopped it in midair.
That's a great scene. You should probably see that movie again. You might like it.
It's horrible. I did see it twice because, you know, you got to make sure if you don't like something, you really make sure you don't like it. And yeah, well, I didn't like it. Anyway, that is also something Mr. Sinister can do with magical energy or just any type of energy one that comes at him. Telekinesis on his part is going to stop it, capture it, just absolutely negate it whatsoever. On top of that, Mr. Sinister can also create insanely powerful force fields and barriers to repel attacks. We see it all the time. You know, in X-Men number 22, really cool comic book, he uses force fields to not only block but repel the entire X-Men team. That is insane. He also uses telekinesis for flight. Look, he can fly at super speed. He's got a lot of maneuverability and agility. This is something he's been doing for many, many, many years. You know, he's actually considered a flyer. And according to the Who Would Win scholar known as Ray Stekanis, if you're a flyer and your opponent doesn't fly, you've got the definite advantage in battle. Again, this is Ray Stekanis saying it. He's also got super powerful telepathy. This is cool. He can read and project thoughts within a 250-mile radius. If he pushes himself, he's got an even greater range. In X-Men Legacy number 214, his telepathic abilities match Emma Frost, who is one of the most powerful telepaths on the planet. I wouldn't say he's quite that powerful, but he's definitely up there in terms of telepathic power. And he can do some very bad things with his telepathy. He can induce mental paralysis and make someone's mind and body completely shut down. He can easily control minds. He can manipulate and put in memories and remove memories and information from people. He can even create mental links between himself and others. Not sure that's going to be a big deal on this, but he is a very bad person who can do very bad things because he's creative with his telepathy. That's going to be a factor in this fight. But he's also a super genius. This is someone who was already a genius before Apocalypse gave him the powers and upgrades, and now his genius is off the charts. He's such a genius that he created a multidimensional time and space trap that he can use against his more powerful opponents. This is technology he has on him at all times. I don't know how this works. He traps his opponents in a prison that exists in different aspects of time and space that is also multidimensional. Good luck escaping that. Mystique went on to say about Mr. Sinister and this trap and his tech that at least 98% of the world's population who is in the know has no clue how Mr. Sinister's technology works. That's because he studied Celestials, these crazy advanced beings in the Marvel Universe, and he knows how to use that technology and use it for his own. He invented the creation engine. This is crazy. This allows him to mass produce clones of himself and automatically create a new version of himself upon his death, where somehow his consciousness immediately goes into it in another exact duplicate of his clone body, and then he's back within the fight within seconds. That's crazy. Thanks to, by the way, he's also on a side note, he's also immortal. Anyway, thanks to this genius, Mr. Sinister also has the ability to teleport large or short distances away. He created teleportation technology. He's got it on him. That's a thing. And by the way, the super genius thing, it's not just with genetic engineering or science. It goes into strategy, tactics, preparedness. In fact, Mr. Sinister may be even a better contingency planner than Batman. And that's me saying this, a Batman fanatic. He's often compared to Reed Richards and Dr. Doom in terms of intellect, the Marvel Universe. It's very much agreed upon that he's one of the smartest people on Earth, because that's a cool thing. Again, now let's talk about his fighting experience. He's actually an incredible fighter. He's been fighting and taking on superpowered opponents for, I wouldn't say 150 years, but at least 130 years. And this is someone who's created fighting styles for himself. He is an excellent fighter. I'll talk about the opponents he's beaten later on, but I'm telling you, this guy knows how to fight, and he's proven it against Wolverine, Deadpool, and some of the best fighters in the Marvel Universe. On top of all this, Mr. Sinister has the power of summoning. This is crazy, at least something close to it. With his telepathy, combined with his teleportation technology he developed, he can summon an army of Mr. Sinister clones. So whether it's a replacement body he may need for some reason, or members of his clone army he developed that have different and specific powers and abilities, or the entire clone army, can always telepathically summon them, as he's done on a number of occasions in order to take out galaxy class level opponents like the Phoenix. More on that later. And finally, let's face it, he's a master of manipulation. He's going to figure out what someone wants, what makes them tick, and then how to position them where he wants them. He's psychologically manipulated Cyclops, Rogue, let's see, Jean Grey, even Professor Xavier, and that is without using his telepathy and Gambit, by the way. He just knows how to manipulate people and position them where he wants. This is something that is crazy. He's got the intoxicating mind fog. Look, Cloudstrife is great. He's never faced off against something like Mr. Sinister. That's my point number two.
Of course he's faced off with somebody like Mr. Sinister. He's fought Sephiroth on a number of occasions. someone who would wipe the floor with Mr. Sinister, quite honestly. Now, look, you mentioned that Cloud Strife can't fly, and you are correct. How does he deal with flyers in his game? Through his combat abilities and superhuman abilities, he can jump in the air and just hang there indefinitely, swinging his sword around to fight flyers whenever he needs to. So while he himself can't fly, he may as well be able to in combat situations. Additionally, Cloud has what's called the assess power that allows him to take a moment, lock in and assess whoever it is that he's fighting against. It unlocks their strengths, their weaknesses, what is good against them, what will be not working against them, and reveals the moves that they're capable of doing. So he does that early on to Mr. Sinister. He's gonna understand the game right away. Also, Cloud can wear certain types of gear to prevent negative status effects. So you talk about doing X, Y, and Z to him. Well, he might just have some gear on that prevents that from happening. Not to mention his potions and his items to allow himself to recover from whatever he needs to. Remember, Final Fantasy VII in its original form is turn-based combat, which means that speed is equalized in that particular case because Cloud can think so fast that he can just do whatever he needs to do in the moment just because he can.
You know, these are all interesting things about Cloud Strife. I'm loving this battle, but let's see what our judge has to say because we are at the turning point. Matthew, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead and what's the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Ooh, you guys are not making it easy this week. Yeah, a lot of great points made on both sides. We got a lot of stuff going on Sinister's side. It seems like people mock Superman for having too many powers. They have not talked to Mr. Sinister yet. And Cloud is just lined with weapons and armors and potions and items. It's like these two are just going to throw everything at each other, and I'm interested to see who's going to run out of tricks first. This point, I am leaning towards Mr. Sinister. Ray, all I got to say for you is, how is Cloud going to beat the more mental side of things is where I'm at. That's kind of where the edge is coming from. I think Cloud could take it physically if he can block out Sinister mentally. So you give me an answer to that, and you know what, James? Just keep throwing the fridge at him. That's what I got to say for you.
You know, I am known for picking up and throwing fridges. We'll talk about that later. All right, this is getting great. The battle's heating up. We'll be back for point number 3. And we're back. Ray, it's now or never. Hit us with your point number 3.
I guess it's now then. My point number 3 for Cloud Strife. We got a lot of things to talk about here. Because first off, mentally, I absolutely don't think that Mr. Sinister is going to be able to get inside Cloud Strife's brain. The argument could be made that Sephiroth was able to get inside his brain, really mess with him, make him see things that weren't there. But the only reason why Sephiroth could get away with doing that so much is because of the shared Genova cells that were inside of them. That's sort of like it brought them all together. Similar to the way that Voldemort and Harry Potter were kind of like fused together in some sort of emotional, mental way. That's a lot of the same way with this right here. They're all sort of related to each other now, so they all sort of have the in to do those things. And with Sephiroth being the most powerful, he was able to do it to Cloud a whole heck of a lot. But he's got otherwise mental blocks. He otherwise is able to block stuff like that. I don't think Mr. Sinister, without prior knowledge, is going to be able to get on in there. Now, a few things to mention about Cloud Strife as well. Mr. Sinister's cool, but does he have a motorcycle? The answer is no. Cloud Strife is a master driver, and he often does combat on the back of a B.A. Baracus motorcycle. He does incredible moves on him. We've seen him like jump the thing in the air, slice another motorcycle in half, and then like land over the top of a tunnel and then slide underneath a truck to get to his next destination. He can just easily slash from motion. You know, it's one thing to get your weight behind you with a sword that big and swing it, but he's so strong and he's so skilled that even though he doesn't really have a lot of weight behind it, he can slash things in half from the motorcycle, which should not be discounted, right? In fact, I haven't seen jumps on a motorcycle this impressive since Vanilla Ice's movie, Cool as Ice. If you can hit the Iceman's moveset in a battle, that's a guaranteed win outright. And he can also control it and stop on a dime and go in other directions. at high speeds as well. He's potent on this motorcycle, and I think he could run rings, literally, around Mr. Sinister if he needed to. But let's talk about the mental aspect a little bit more, because Mr. Sinister, he loses a lot. Let's keep it real. This is a guy who loses a lot of battles. He wins his fair share, too, but once his plans are sort of poked through, he sort of just fades back into obscurity again, waiting to put his next plan in motion. He doesn't necessarily have that win factor when it brass comes to tacks, right? But Cloud Strife, when he knows something he wants, is not afraid to do whatever it takes to win. Lest we forget, Cloud Strife entered the Honeybee dancing competition and suddenly turned Final Fantasy VII into a rhythm dancing game. That's right, and he was good, and he crushed it. But that's not even the craziest thing he did. Cloud Strife put on a dress and pretended to be a sexy lady in order to get into the good graces of a mob boss. It was the only way for him to get through to the boss, and inside his operation was to go completely in drag and enter like cutie show type of a thing. I'm just saying, I don't see Mr. Sinister having the gumption to even try that move, but Cloud Strife is willing to quote unquote go there. And I mentioned the limit breaks. When Cloud Strife is pressed to his limit, and I think Mr. Sinister could absolutely press Cloud to his limit, but that's when Cloud Strife is at his strongest. That is when he goes even beyond his incredible capabilities and brings down Sephiroth with 15-hit combos. My favorite moment in the series, Sephiroth ran him through with a sword while he was on the ground, lifted Cloud Strife in the air on the end of his sword, and was like, I beat you, it's over. And this is when that limit break pressed in. Cloud Strife grabs the sword, brings himself down, lifts Sephiroth in the air, and throws him into the reactor, blowing him up essentially and defeating him after being impaled by his sword. So when it comes to it, Mr. Sinister, I think, is the type of guy to think a battle's over and let his guard down, and that's when Cloud Strife beats you. It was basically that scene with Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, and the Emperor at the end of Return of the Jedi, except Cloud Strife didn't need somebody else to win the battle for him. He just threw him over the railing himself. If Luke Skywalker wasn't such a putz, he would be Cloud Strife, but he's not. Because Cloud Strife is Cloud Strife, and he wins this battle. And that's my point number three.
Wow, first of all, how dare you besmirch the good name of Luke Skywalker? I could just go off on that alone, but I won't.
I got a lot of anger towards Luke still.
I mean, if it's from the sequels, I don't blame you. So let me kind of push back a little bit. I did some research, and the Genova cells are really interesting to me because it's not like it's someone with Genova cells who can mentally control someone else with Genova cells. The Genova cells themselves actually make you more susceptible to mind control, telepathy, mental manipulation, what have you. And that's on top of the fact that I'm pretty sure Mr. Sinister could do this to someone anyway, whether they had Genova cells or not. Does Mr. Sinister have a motorcycle? I'm sure he's had one. He's lived for 150 years. That's not something he typically relies on. It was like that toy I saw with my son over the weekend, Spider-Man's spider car. I'm sure Spider-Man has a nice car if he wanted to. Doesn't really rely on it, but I'm glad someone's selling it, making money on it. I was dared to watch Cool as Ice back in the day. I couldn't do it. I've done some crazy stuff in my life, some crazy, scary stuff that's questionable, but I couldn't actually bring myself to watch that movie. I'm sorry. It's nothing against you, Vanilla Ice. It's just I have this against you, Vanilla Ice. Finally, in terms of dance competitions, fun fact, Mr. Sinister is actually a fantastic ballroom dancer. So maybe we should have another, you know, event of ballroom dancing for Mr. Sinister and whatever Cloud Strife does dancing wise. Look, I don't know where even Ray was going with this. So let me just get to my point number three. My point number three, let's talk about some major stuff going for Mr. Sinister and some kind of weak points of Cloud Strife. Now, in terms of accomplishments, Mr. Sinister's had quite a few. He's beaten, as in completely taken out, Sabretooth, which he did by catching a lunging Sabretooth coming at him, caught him with one hand in air and choked him unconscious with one hand. Healing factor or not, Sabretooth got, you know, KO'd. That was awesome. He beat Daken, the son of Wolverine. He ripped off his arm and while he was holding him down and then ripped out his eye to keep as a genetic sample to use later, kind of like a parting gift, if you will. I don't know what the deal was. He knocked out both Iceman, Ray's favorite Omega level mutant, and a character named Cannonball, super powerful mutant. He knocked out both of them with one hit. He got his head chopped off by Colossus's sister, a character named known as Magic, who also has a super powerful magic fueled sword. Still, he beat both of them as well. And while decapitated, he was still fully conscious. He teleported in another body to where he was, had that body just put the head on it, and then he gets back up. Colossus back up, and Mr. Sinister's like, cool, I'm just going to beat you up, Colossus. And he did. That was fun. He beat Wolverine, Cyclops, Gambit, as in completely defeated each and every one of them. He's also beaten the X-Men, as in the entire team all at once. This was a team of Colossus, Cyclops, Jean Grey, Wolverine, Rogue, and Professor X all at the same time. Speaking of teams, he's also beaten the entire team known as X-Force, while they also had Cable on his side. Cable with his time manipulation, what he can do with that, not a problem because Mr. Sinister is very familiar with how to manipulate time. He's also beaten Cable a number of times by himself. He even has wins over Deadpool, but this is the big one. He's beaten Apocalypse three freaking times. Three freaking times you beat Apocalypse, who was one of the heavy hitters. I believe he was the original mutant on Earth. This is something we've had on the show before. You beat Apocalypse three times, you know you're doing something well. Now, this is actually really, really big, and it just kind of shows his contingency plans, what he has in place. So in a storyline of X-Men versus the Avengers, this was years ago, the Phoenix Force comes down, is split amongst five of the X-Men, Cyclops, Colossus, Magic, Emma Frost, and Namor of all people, and they decide to go after Mr. Sinister. Now, at this time, Mr. Sinister creates this replica of London, classical London, Victoria-era London, outside of San Francisco, because why not? And in it, it's his clone army with varying powers, whatever. Now, the Phoenix Force, split amongst these five people, these five super powerful mutants, comes down, and they attack, and Mr. Sinister had contingency stuff to take out all of the members of the X-Men who had this Phoenix Force. He took out the Phoenix Force with contingency plans and no time to prepare whatsoever. And all of a sudden, he's taking out the Phoenix, who can destroy solar systems and be threats to galaxies. That's crazy. Now, let's talk about Cloud Strife's biggest weakness, because I actually really like this character. But his biggest weakness is his susceptibility to mind control. And he's definitely susceptible to mind control. He struggles also with his true identity and past. And this gets manipulated by Sephiroth in really cool ways. Now, in Final Fantasy VII, Sephiroth manipulates Cloud's mind multiple times. There's something called the Nibelheim incident, and that's where Sephiroth's mind manipulation causes Cloud Strife to believe he is a clone created by the Genova Project, which makes Sephiroth able to control him, manipulate him, do what he wants. In something called the Northern Crater, Sephiroth uses Cloud Strife's black material. I'm not even sure what that is. Something that shows significant mind control. Now, and the fact that Cloud Strife has Genova cells in his body, again, which are designed to make the person more mentally susceptible to mind control, this is a huge problem against someone like Mr. Sinister. Now, if he has the support from his companions, I'm talking about Cloud Strife, especially a character named Tifa, Cloud Strife has shown that he can resist and recover from mental manipulation and mind control, but in a Hoodwin match and random encounter with no time to prepare, no previous knowledge of your opponent, with none of your friends around, Cloud Strife is going to have none of the things he used to barely escape that mind control last time. He's getting possessed by one of the most powerful telepaths the world has ever known. On top of that, more mental issues. He's got emotional instability. He's got these issues with guilt and trauma. I guess he was haunted by what he thought were failures and losses, and that led to emotional breakdowns. And I guess we saw this after a character's death named Aerith. And on top of that, Cloud Strife's physicals aren't at the level of Mr. Sinister's. His ability to heal himself is vastly inferior. His stamina is limited. His magic runs out. All that kind of stuff is really good. But again, Mr. Sinister doesn't get hurt. He has backup plans. He can teleport. He's got, manipulation over time control. He's got all this crazy tech and science that might as well be magic. And by the way, he's seen magic before. He's been around for 150 years. He's seen what Doctor Doom can do. He's had encounters with Doctor Strange. When it comes to magic, Mr. Sinister has been there, seen that, all that kind of good stuff. This is going to be a problem. Look, he's a fantastic character. He's amazing. He's really cool. Absolutely play Final Fantasy. I'll probably start doing it. Probably not. But when you put all this together, Mr. Sinister just has the exact ways to take advantage of Cloud Strife's biggest weaknesses. This is why Cloud Strife is going to lose. This is why Mr. Sinister wins. That's my point number three.
That's the whole deal. You say, Mr. Sinister's been seen these magic users and he's overcome it. Well, Cloud Strife is seen mentally taking over people like Sephiroth, who had the exact way to defeat him organically. And he overcame them and beat them too, didn't he? Right. And I don't even know why you mentioned that Mr. Sinister beat Iceman. If Iceman was an Omega-level mutant, sure, that would be a great feat, but he isn't. So it's not really worth anything at all. The whole deal here is that Mr. Sinister is a character at his core who is built to lose. Cloud Strife is a character who you can knock down, push down, hurt, mentally weakened, but he's going to come back like Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 3, and he's going to body slam the Andre the Giant for the win. That's exactly what Cloud is about. Push him as hard as you can, Mr. Sinister. He bounces back, rope-a-dopes, and brings you down. That assess power in itself, allowing him early in the fight to understand Mr. Sinister's power set, his strengths, and his weaknesses, is exactly what he needs to push him over the top, because he's going to find out through that Mr. Sinister's weakness is to Cyclops' blasts. He can't regenerate when Cyclops Optic blasts him. And what does he have that's similar to those blasts? The Ultima power, the holy power. He has shots that are powerful energy blasts that go through armor and regeneration, most likely, and will bring him down. You talk about all the great characters, but I'm sorry, nobody you mentioned could lay a candle or a hand on Sephiroth, and Cloud Strife beat him on multiple occasions, even when he was not at full strength. Sinister will push Cloud, but Cloud is built a little different to bounce back and win.
All good stuff. Listen, Matthew, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself. It's time for you to make a decision, but before we get to what Matthew has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members from the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today's Patron of the Week, we're going to go with Douglas Reigert Johnson. DRJ, it's your time.
DRJ, okay, this is troubling because, okay, look, DRJ is the most powerful human in his area. Let's have him go up against the most powerful member of this video game family of royalty. Let's have DRJ go up against Miss Pac-Man.
Miss Pac-Man, this is interesting, because DRJ, not to be confused with Dr. J, Julius Erving of the Philadelphia 76ers, who lays the mean funk on a nasty dunk, if I could say it right. But Douglas Reigert Johnson has a special ability against a character like Mrs. Pac-Man. He's actually got two, and I'm going to lay them out right here. What is Mrs. Pac-Man good? She's big. She's very, very strong. She's got an unhinged jaw that will bring down and allow her to chomp, especially after a power pellet, anybody in her sight. And she is single-minded in focus. If you are between her and these pellets on the screen, she is going to devour you. But Douglas Reigert Johnson has two things. One, he tastes terrible. He tastes absolutely rotten. And I don't know, usually that's not a great thing, but against a mouth-eating-based character like Ms. Pac-Man, he absolutely cannot be eaten by her, so his defense is through the roof. And second, he can grow very, very long fingernails slash claws, much like X-23. So what's going to happen is Ms. Pac-Man's going to try to eat him. He's going to be able to resist that because of his bad taste, and he's going to punch the claws through the top of Ms. Pac-Man's head. Sorry, kids at home. He's going to win this battle. Congratulations, Douglas Reigert Johnson. You have been our Patron of the Week.
Well done, DRJ. Remember, you too can become a celebrated Patron of the Week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Now back to the decision, Matthew. It's time. We need your judgment. Take us through your process. Tell us the story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Cloud Strife and Mr. Sinister.
All right. Like, once again, you guys knocked this out of the park. I'm going to run you through what I'm thinking right now. And who knows, maybe we'll make an audio drama out of this, because this is a fight I want to see. You've convinced me. So I'm seeing this start out. We got Cloud on his just awesome motorcycle driving through. And coming right up to him is Mr. Sinister flying right at him. Cloud mega jumps up in the air, uses his big sword, and just slices Sinister right in half. Two bodies fall, and what, do two Sinisters create? How would that work? No, just one Sinister reforms, stands up, and they stand off. Now, Sinister is a geneticist. He is a scientist. He is going to notice something's off about Cloud right away with these Genova cells, these enhancements. And so he's going to go in for a few strikes. And yeah, this guy's tough. He is throwing these cross slashes and these just huge moves at Sinister. And Sinister is a bit of a coward. He's going to slink away and boom, summon a ton of clones to fight the real Cloud. Now, Cloud has assessed Sinister. He knows how to take out these clones, and we all know the rule of ninjas with movies. And the same thing applies to Sinister. One Mr. Sinister, very powerful. 100 Mr. Sinisters, probably not. So, Cloud is taking on all of these Mr. Sinisters, and meanwhile, the original is standing in the background, entering Cloud's mind, and poking around the memories. Now, Cloud is just destroying these guys like nothing fodder, calls down a meteor, boom! They're gone, it's smoke, it's dust, it's ash. And through the smoke, Cloud sees a figure now. And he approaches it. And it's Tifa. And he goes, Tifa, what are you doing here? There's no outside interference. But I do need your help. I'm hurt very badly. These guys are getting to me. You are a healer. And Tifa looks at him and goes, why would I ever help you? And her face twists and she just melts. And Mr. Sinister has gotten inside his mind. And the world is just twisting around him. And Cloud starts to just throw out everything he's got. Sinister pops up here. Boom, slash, boom, slash. And he gets him. He gets Sinister. He's on the ground. And Sinister fights back. Optic beams blasts Cloud down. And he is just pummeling. Cloud hears just these memories echoing through him, these traumatizing times getting experimented on and all the friends he's lost. And then Sinister is like at his throat and Cloud limit breaks. Boom! Just a huge, let's call it a tornado, throws Sinister away. And Sinister gets back up slowly. He realizes Cloud is tougher than he looks. Cloud realizes Sinister is on the verge. They come at each other one more time, and Cloud slashes down, and Sinister teleports behind him, grabs his head, and goes, I'm going to have fun learning all about you. Boom! Complete mental break on Cloud. Cloud falls to his knees, and he is just done, has a complete mental breakdown, and Sinister takes him back to the lab where he will have many a fun nights poking around these Genova cells. Mr. Sinister is the winner.
And there you have it. I gotta tell you, this is maybe tied for the top story ever told for the who would win battle, determining which person, which character was going to win. I thought, okay, Mr. Sinister is going to take it. Cloud, then Cloud Strife. And then this was incredible. You need to make an audio drama, even if it's a standalone episode of what you just said. This will make you billions of dollars guaranteed. I love it. I agree with this. Race to Canis, you did a great job with Cloud Strife, especially bringing in the motorcycle. I'm not sure why that was a factor. It was just a cool thing. Tell Legion of Audience, our fan base, how you're feeling right now.
Look, mobility is important in a battle like this, and I thought it would have a little bit more to do than be discarded at the start of the fight. Obviously, I'm disappointed with this decision. It was a great story with a bad ending. One could argue it was the Game of Thrones of the Who Would Win catalog. Now, besides that, first off, Matthew Dawson, I want to say congratulations on making it this far. Getting on to the Who Would Win show after listening to it for like 2 or 3 episodes. How long have you been listening to the show? Like just a couple of weeks now?
Yeah, I think this is this episode included, this is 3 episodes.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, congratulations on making it. You'll never be back again. So congratulations on the one time that we allowed you to be on the show and you messed it up. How dare you? Cloud Strife cannot be defeated when push comes to shove. His mental breaks make him stronger. I am ashamed of this decision. And I think that all the Rainiacs, I think that all the awkward allies out there in the world will unite behind the banner of Final Fantasy VII and Cloud Strife. I have lost too many video game characters in a row, I think. I need somebody from the Awkward Allies hashtag to tell me when was the last time and how many losses have come in between. It's too many. I need to write this ship.
I didn't listen to a word you had to say, Ray. All I could do was focus on this amazing story that Matthew Dawson just told for the Who Would Win audience. This was incredible. Matthew, I got to tell you, I'm going to talk with the Who Would Win board tomorrow and the production team. I guarantee you, you're getting invited back for your first time ever being on the show. You absolutely killed it. Well done. Please come back. In the meantime, tell the Legion of Audience, our fan base, where they can find you online and where they can find the DC Mortalverse audio dramas you're creating.
You know, like Cloud Strife, I think I just witnessed Ray have a mental break. So good luck next time with the video game character Ray. And you can find me on Twitter at Hopper2400. Mortalverse is on Twitter at Mortalverse. And does anything else matter? You can probably find us anywhere by looking up Matthew Dawson or Mortalverse. And if you want to, Twitter's the main place I hang out.
Very cool. Ray Cicanus, again, great job today. You fell a little short, but you know, you brought in the motorcycle and there should be some kudos for that. Tell our listeners where they can find you.
You can, of course, find me on Threads, the only social media website, at AlmightyRay316. I guess you could find me on Instagram as well, where I am currently doing my playthrough of every single Final Girl feature film from season 1 and season 2. Thanks again to AJ Porfirio for coming on the show and doing a much better job than Matthew Dawson in his first time out.
Wow.
Just go ahead and say it out there. James, you better play it when you get it. AJ has in fact confirmed he has sent James Final Girl starter pack. And James, I want pictures. I want to hear how terrible it went for you. It'll bring me joy to know that Hans the Butcher ruined your evening. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, get the Final Girl starter pack for yourself. It is a phenomenal game. They aren't paying us to say that. I just believe it. And if you've seen my social media, you already knew that that was true. Almighty Ray 316 on Instagram and Threads. Don't find me on Facebook. A lot of you have. I won't take it. I won't accept it. I don't know you. Go away. Find me on Threads.
Making Almighty friends everywhere he goes. I can confirm I got the Final Girl starter pack from AJ Porfirio. Thank you so much, AJ. It's absolutely fantastic. I will be playing it with one of my kids soon. I'm not sure which of my kids I love the most. Whenever I determine which of the three that is, we will play it together. And again, I will absolutely report on it. Super thrilled to get it. And again, I'm not getting paid to say it. I just can't wait to play it. All right, you can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in @JamesGavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group. Now at over 62,000, I don't know what the heck's happening there, but we're very happy about it. Find us on Facebook as well. That's where you can make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicanus, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey gang, I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Okay, got to prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.